celebrate the return of my daughters, who I'd recently reclaimed from Lyle Jeffs with the FBI's help. But all I could think about was getting home to them. One of my older sons had stayed behind at my house with the girls. Though the month since our reunion had been rocky, I wanted nothing more than to spend every available minute with them. After a couple of hours, I left the restaurant around 7:30 to travel back to Mesquite. The streets were quiet and dark, the temperature dropping, typical for a desert evening. As I drove, my mind kept wandering back and forth between my girls and the friends I'd just left. What a great day. Not even a red light to stop me. I punched up a classic rock station on the radio. Although things couldn't get much better, catching a Journey or Moody Blues song would only boost the awesome needle. I cranked up the volume, reveling in the pleasure of something as basic as listening to a great tune, a simple pleasure forbidden to faithful FLDS members. All thoughts of the previous incident on the freeway had left my mind. I cruised down the extended curving I-15 on-ramp. When I'd fully accelerated to 65, I noticed a landscape of red lights in front of me. I stomped down on my brakes, but the car did not respond, keeping its momentum toward a semi with crimson brake lights. Motionless cars crowded the left-hand lanes. To the right was a steeply declining embankment with no guardrail. With only seconds left before impact, there was nothing to be done. I realized in horror that the ramp's downward slope caused the Suburban to actually gain momentum. Pumping frantically on the unresponsive brakes, I plowed full on into the back of the semi. I lost consciousness at the same moment the car burst into flames. Even before the final crunch of steel, the engine sat lodged in my lap. The exhaust manifold and steering wheel propelled through the wall of my stomach, creating a mass of torn internal organs and burned flesh. The driver of the semi jumped out of his cab with a fire extinguisher. First responders and Life Flight arrived immediately. I can't imagine how they landed a helicopter in that chaos. Intertwined in my intestines, the steering wheel was only 2 inches away from the front of the driver's seat. Once they began extrication, they estimated I had 90 seconds to live. During the one-minute flight to Dixie Regional Hospital, I bled out 20 units of blood, and my stomach swelled up to the size of 2 basketballs. Emergency physicians gave me a 5% chance of survival. They operated throughout the night, including 3 separate surgeries to stop internal bleeding. The hospital had just installed a brand new blood pump machine, and I became the first patient to use it. This external mechanical heart pumped blood back in as fast as I lost it, keeping me alive during the operation. Many questions have been asked about my state of mind at the time of the accident. Could it have been my fault? The facts speak the truth. My phone? Found in my pocket. Blood alcohol level? 0. Health? Impeccable. Car? In perfect working order. Mentally? Sound. I was beginning to get my children back, and I had supportive friends. I had absolutely no reason to want to cause myself or anyone else harm. Because my vehicle had been destroyed by fire, police investigators found little or no physical evidence. They did note that no skid marks or any other sign existed that my car had slowed. Yet, when they pulled me out of the car, my right ankle was broken and pressed down on the brake pedal. No concrete evidence exists that the Suburban had been meddled with. I am certain, however, that my brother, Warren Jeffs, from a holding cell in Kingman, Arizona, ordered one of Lyle's many God Squad enforcers to disable my car. I've seen such things happen before. On numerous occasions, I've witnessed Warren's impersonal droning orders of punishment for an FLDS church member who dared go against his word. After the accident, a private investigator went to the Olive Garden parking lot. In the spot where my car had been parked, he found a large oil spill, potentially indicating that the car had been tampered with. If Warren had tried to kill me, he nearly succeeded. Chapter 2. The Time to Tell. I woke up in an incoherent haze. I attempted to sit up, but my body seemed incapable of following the command screaming through my mind. Get up! Get up! A middle-aged blonde woman hovered over me. She looked like a teacher. Why was this teacher dressed all in white? Her appearance seemed an awful